Music and fun. Miskin Radio.
So my first guest tonight is actor Leanne Donovan. Hello, Leanne.
Hello.
And our musician in session is Steve Hewitt. Welcome, Steve.
G'day.
As for you, get in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram using the hashtag @TheKPSessions. Now, Steve, you're not Australian.
No,
why
I'm
did
not
you do a good
I
day?
Don't know why. I just want to see you smile.
Well, it happened a couple of weeks ago and I strained a muscle. But because this is exciting because Leanne's from America. We've got an American actress.
This is true. Sorry, people.
Yeah, but then you're from Kent, so it's not quite. But be Australians this evening. It'd be fine. So, Leanne, now your husband's also an actor.
That's correct. Yes.
How does that work?
I met him when I was a student coming over from the US, and he toured throughout the 90s in musical theater. And a lot of his more recent work has been sort of film oriented.
But he's got an amazing role in Shaun of the Dead.
Most people know him from Shaun of the Dead. He's the sort of the first big zombie you see. That's sort of a claim to fame.
Is
for
that
him.
A bit where they're freaking out in the house, and then
they're in the back garden. Yeah, there's one girl who they realize is in the back garden, and they think she's drunk at first, and they don't. Then they realize something's wrong, and then they spot the guy. They realize is a huge, a big zombie. That's my husband, Mark. Oh, wow. Yes.
Would you want to work together?
I'm sure we could. That's the sort of thing that could come up. But if it did, we'd do it, I'm sure. Yeah. I suppose the only weird bit would be maybe, sort of steamy bits.
Yeah.
That might be a little odd or uncomfortable. But other than that, I'm sure it'd be fine.
So one of the things that you do is video game character voiceovers. But what I didn't realize, a lot of it's just noises as opposed to speech.
Well, what often happens, unlike in, say, a film or a play, you have set dialogue. You know exactly what's going to happen in the plot. With video games, what's different is that a lot of what happens in the narrative is based on what the player decides to do. Hmm. So if player decides
to die or survive.
Yeah, if that player decides to open that door, something different will happen than if he decides to go, he goes left, or if he goes right, or if he decides to shoot that person, or he'd jump over that hill or whatever. So you have different scenarios of the same thing that get recorded, even though you're the same character. And it's
far bigger. It's far, far harder.
Yeah, it can be a little more complicated. And in your head, it's not the same thing as, I'm telling the story in one exact way as you would with a film or a television show. Like you mentioned, when you're playing a first person shooter game or something like that, a lot of what the voice actor has to do is act like they're getting sort of shot or punched or hit in the neck or whatever. And so it ends up sounding what they say is sort of just the vowel sounds. So you would have ah, ooh, etc. Kind of goes on and on. You have to try to avoid that vocal fry by, screaming too much, or you just sort of kill your voice. So those are the sort of pro tips for those of you wanting to do that kind of thing. It sort of ends up being a lot of kind of somewhat repetitive, but fun. It's interesting. It's different than theater or film.
And you're a massive fan of Doctor Who.
This is true. I'm a massive fan of Doctor Who. And so what happened is when I was growing up in Iowa, where I'm from in the Midwest of the United States, it turned out that Iowa is the only place that's actually had Doctor Who actually on television for about 43 years, barring about 5 years in the early 1980s. So that's even longer than the BBC, longer than Australian Broadcasting Company or Corporation or New Zealand. But the odd thing is, in the United States, we have what we call the Public Broadcasting Service. And so people voluntarily pay money to say, I want to watch this show. I will give money to the kitty for the local station to buy that show. So the local Iowa viewers kept giving money voluntarily to watch Doctor Who. So that's a kind of little unique claim to fame, I suppose, USP for Iowa viewers, that Doctor Who has been on there for so many decades.
You hear actors like Peter Capaldi and sort of the previous actors, they say that, yeah, I mean, obviously it's amazing doing it, but it is so intense, isn't it? Like the work.
I think it's hard work. I wouldn't doubt for a minute. They do quite long days, and I noticed Peter Capaldi himself was on a talk show last week, and he mentioned that they finished their 209th shooting day for the last current series that he did, and that's quite a grueling pace if you consider if it's, you know, probably 10 to 12 14 hours a day,
plus all the other acting he's doing as well.
That's right, and when you're the lead that's, you know, you're in probably almost every scene. So having said that, Peter Capaldi himself was a massive Doctor Who fan himself before he took the role, as was David Tennant. In a way, I suppose that's part of maybe, you know, living the dream for them, really.
Okay, so this is comedian, an actor, Leanne Donovan, and musician Steve Hewitt. We're going to hear more from Steve about his new album, and more from Leanne as well.
More, you won't know from yet.
And we're going to see.
I made a few grunts for that.
You know? Well, it was, well, you did laugh. A good hello. I mean, you did a reasonable hello. That's why. Because you did that. You did
throw everyone off immediately.
Yeah, you're banned. So Steve's going
to
be doing
multicultural in here, you know?
It's incredibly multicultural. Nice. Well, possibly. So Steve's going to be doing two live songs very soon here on Miskin Radio. That's Sophie Jane's The Devil at Your Door. That's her new offering. So we've got actress Leanne Donovan.
Hello
and,
again.
Musician Steve Hewitt. Steve
actress,
Hewitt's
not comedian.
No. Well, actually,
well, I'm funny. Okay.
Yeah, she is. She does. She does a lot of things. Do you prefer actor or actress?
I prefer actor. Mm. I like the gender neutral. I don't like labeling things by gender.
Yeah, she don't like labeling things. Kid.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephen.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephen. Stephen Hewitt.
He was nice enough to ask, though. Yeah. So, nice. You know.
On air, though, to be honest. I mean, you know. So Steve Hewitt. So you're going to be doing two of our songs, if we get that far. you wrote a song for the new album on the plane to Texas. Like,
yes, I did.
Did you get a guitar out while you were on the plane?
No. Basically what it was, I kind of had the melody beforehand. So basically what it was, the year before last, there was a band that come over from America called the Reed Brothers. I say band, but back at home they've got a five-piece, but when they come over here it was more acoustic-based, you know, just so that they come over here, do some smaller venues, build up a bit of a following so that next time people would, you know, oh, they're coming over, invite the friends, so sort of build up like that. And I was so inspired by them, I just had this sort of this country thing over me for like ages, and I couldn't shift it, and everything that was writing, it was just, you know, had that sort of mid-paced tempo, and I'm like, I've really got to write something about it. Anyway, so on my phone, there's quite a lot of loads, just so that I could capture the melody. And I
wherever you are, like
melody.
You'll record it. Like,
yeah. If I'm at work or you know,
supermarket, anything, like you're just quickly
mid conversation. It could happen any moment, you know, even now. So just keep your eye out for that. Yeah, so. Anyway, I had that in the back of my mind because when the guys came over here and I was a support act for them, after I think it was the third show that I was a support act for them down at the Bedford and in Tunbridge Wells, I practiced that day for 4 hours. I was like, wife, kids, get out. I need to move all my musical equipment in the living room so I can practice. Anyway, I practiced for so long, my fingers were bleeding. I'm like, you know, these guys are so good. I've got to up my game here. Anyway, after the gig, the guys come to me and it was like, dude, we're having a tour next year. You got to be on it. I was like, let's do it. Anyway, so...
You don't interrupt that, Leanne. What sorry. Accent? Good?
Good? Well, having not spent a lot of time in Texas, but I would say that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's pretty... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Anyway, so when I was on the plane, I had like, a massive migraine. I was like rubbing this place in my head for like 2 hours. And I looked round to James Vince, who was with me, and I had like this massive red patch on me. Anyway, that subsided. Don't know why even though I mentioned that. And I was like... And then the lyrics just flowed, and it was like 5 minutes. And then I recorded it on my phone. Yeah. And then when I got over there, I thought... I played one night for about an hour and a bit, and I was like, I'm running out of songs, you know, well, like original songs anyway. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a new song that I wrote on the plane, and everybody loved it. And I had such good response from it. I mean, like, there was one show, like 50 people come over to me and was like, you've got to record that song. I'm going to buy it straight away. So, but it's got quite a significant, like, meaning.
What's it called,
though? It's called I Can't Live This Life Without You. And it was inspired by my old granny and granddad because I was so close to them. And it was really weird because their relationship was like, it was like, wanted to kill each other, really. It was like a pantomime. I go over there and I'll be in the corner, fits of laughing, you know. Granddad would be telling one story and then she'll come around the corner and go, that ain't true, you know what I mean? And then it'd start all over again. So, but it was weird because when my granny passed away, my granddad lasted like 5 months and it was literally, he could not live without her. And it's weird, with songwriting, there's no antidote or set way of doing it, you know. It's like, I couldn't have wrote that song unless they passed, you know. They had to pass away for that to come about. And
how many years were they together then?
They was together for, I think that was together 60-odd years. So.
Yeah,
50-odd, I think, yeah.
Yes.
Well, it was weird because, well, it was funny little story. Is that right, though? Keep going? Yeah. Funny little story. When my granddad met my granny was 18, and then he told her he was 22. And then a few years later, no, I think it was like a year or odd later, he went, no, I'm 24. And then on their wedding day, he said, I'm 27, really.
He's cradle robbing here, isn't he?
You know, I'm marrying an old man, yeah. She said, you know. So it was, quite funny, really. So, yeah, that's how that song come about. So, yes.
And when you perform, you're really strict with what you eat and what you drink.
Yeah.
Like, to what extent, though? You won't drink beer, things like that. You won't.
Well, yeah, well, I think what it is, there's singers out there what nothing, you know, hinders their vocals. You know, I know guys what smoke and they can eat rubbish, you know, go to McDonald's or whatever before a gig and they'll sing like an angel. But me, I've really got to keep my vocals in check because if not, it's not good. You know, well, I've had a few gigs where I've stupidly gone into, you know, McDonald's or had a pizza or something just before a gig and I'm bloated and I'm sweating and I'm like, oh, I can't hit these high notes without my vocals breaking. So now I'm juicing, you know. I bought a juicer and I don't know what it is. It's just, I'm just eliminating the breads and, you know, the stuff that bloats me out, really. So I'm just drinking loads of water, having plenty of exercise and it really helps. It really, really helps. And I done a gig down at the Grey Lady down at Tunbridge Wells the other week, and Paul Dunton, who runs it, he was like, Steve, you're so impressive. And I'm like, well, I can't, but I thought to myself, well, I play like that anyway, but my health was being affected just by the food and stuff, you know, so I wasn't performing like I could do, and so I was quite deceived in that. I was thinking, no, it sounds good, it sounds okay, but it matters looking after yourself, having sleep, looking after yourself, exercise, and yeah, so, and it's weird as well because it's like I've abused my body all my life. It's come to this point that I've got so much more energy and enthusiasm, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I really want to do this now, you know? So, it really helps. So.
Okay, well, I'll let you introduce your first live song.
Okay, so this is a brand new song. It's going to be on my new album, what we're going to talk about in a moment. And it's called Pushing Me Away. Each time you talk, all I hear, words without heart, sealed in fear, but support and the line with the lies you believe. It breaks my fragile heart to see you look at life with grinded teeth. You blame everyone but yourself. You say you're living life to the full, but from here you're dragging your feet like a mule. While in doubt you say the truth will set you free. Will you ever admit that you're wrong? Or at least say that you just don't know. Or as I never cross your mind, I know you love to justify. I know it's the only way you think I'm gonna stay. The more you push, you're pushing me away. The more you push, you're pushing me away. The fact that I know you doesn't mean that I got to trust. You force feed your wisdom when I say that I've had enough. You got good intentions, but all I hear is contention with no place for love. You're the kind of soul that won't be told. You lose yourself, you lose control. You ever admit that you're wrong? Or at least say that you just don't know? Or has it never crossed your mind? I know you love to justify. I know it's the only way you think I'm gonna stay. The more you push, the pushing me away. The more you push, you're pushing me away.
That was Steve Hewitt with his first live song this evening's brand new one. It's called Pushing Me Away. It's on the new album, Bigger Than Words. We'll be talking about Bigger Than Words very soon after this track from Pedestrian Zero. It's called Stare, and it's from New Ash Green's Toby Hawkins, who is his stage name is Pedestrian Zero. And it was last week's world exclusive. We were the first station on Earth to play it. So that is Hydromag. It's called Primrose Hill. Brand new music there from the Canterbury singer-songwriter Joss Best Shaw. Now it's time for our second live song from Steve Hewitt. And if you go onto the Miskin Radio Facebook page, you're going to be able to watch it as well as listen to it. We're Facebook Living it. So go on the Miskin Radio Facebook page. That's M-I-S-K-I-N. Over to you, Steve.
This is it's going to be on my new album. It's called Healing and Hurt. This is dedicated to my wife. I'll let the song do the talking. I'm going against all the odds. I'm running back into your arms. I don't care about their views, what they think that I should do. 'Cause I know, yes, I know, I belong with you. I'm tired of trying to please. 'Cause despite all the effort, I end up on my knees begging. Life is hard, yes, it's true, but I will try 'cause I got you. 'Cause I know, yes, I know, your love is true. I'll never really myself, but when I am with you, girl, I lay down myself. Your touch tears down my facade, yet you peel me back up, babe, by breaking my heart. This love is bigger than words, yeah. This love is my healing and hurt. Is my healing and hurt, dread this moment to end, 'cause I'm scared to death that our time is spent. The roses are red, my love, the violets are blue, but it don't make sense to me. I ain't got you. I'll never really myself, but when I am with you, girl, I lay down myself. Your touch tears down my facade, yet you peel me back out there by breaking my heart. This love bigger than words. Love is my healing and hurt.
It's Healing and Hurt from Steve Hewitt, performed live in session. And that's off the new album, Bigger Than Words. When does that come out?
I'm sort of halfway through it at the moment. I'm collaborating with a few people, so that's where the time's going, you know. So I'd say nearer Christmas time, and then I'm going to have a launch gig with the band and everybody on the album. So it's going to take a lot of planning, but it will be an awesome night.
And you do, and like, do you do it all yourself?
Yeah, I do it all myself. What, in terms of what?
Well, like, I mean, because as a solo musician, like, all the planning and preparation, like the gig, everything like this, you're kind of your own manager, aren't you, in a sense?
Well, yeah, basically, I'm trying to be more self-sufficient singer-songwriter. I've got my own PA in that now, and I do my own paid gigs and stuff, you know. And I get an odd wedding here and there, which is, you know, it's good financially, because with a wedding, you can pay anywhere from, charge anywhere from up to 300, 500, depending on what. And so everything I do, I just, you know, reinvest in studio work, you know. So on this album, I'm kind of a sucker for a really good hook line. So I'd say I can write a really good pop song. But this time round, I'm like, I want to be a bit more experimental in terms of the way I play and stuff. So on this album, it will start with, you know, big banded full production to be like five piece or four piece, you know. And then after that, there'll be just me and the acoustic guitar. And then me with the loop pedal and different effects.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's really important that, to give the album a lot of dynamic, you know. So it starts up there, then ends down there. It's a different change of mood. So
it's not just a continual story.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing, you know what I mean? It's like I really don't want to bring an album out ever where there's a skip track. So I try not to write a B-side.
Mm.
I've got loads of B-sides, but I will never release them because it's like, you know, I might do one day if, you know, if I've got a two-hour set and I'm running out of songs, I'll pull them out of the bag. But in terms of what people hear, you know, it matters to me. So, yeah.
So that's Bigger Than Words, and that's going to be coming out later this year.
Yeah.
Now it's time for this.
Worst jobby wobby, worst jobby wobby, worst, worst, worst.
So this is the bit where we talk to our guests about the worst jobs actors, musicians, comedians tend to do, the strangest jobs while doing their art at the same time. Leanne Donovan, actor, voiceover artist, what is the weirdest job you've ever done?
The weirdest job I've ever done. Well, I certainly had some pretty horrible ones. I did have to work sort of, you know, a fast food joint for a little while. And, you know, that's pretty much, I was pretty much the lowest person on the ladder. And
was that in America?
It was in the US, yeah. Mm. And part of it was having to clean the bathrooms, the toilets. And part of that illustrious task was emptying the feminine hygiene box.
Oh, crumbs.
Which was probably the worst task I've had to do in terms of stuff I had to do from day to day.
But does it kind of, like, when you're doing something like that, does it kind of give you the motivation to think, right, you know, keep doing this, and then, you know, you go on,
yeah,
and the next day you might be doing some acting or like a voiceover thing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's, I
like,
think,
yeah,
it
this
does.
This is why I do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That... well, a lot of, I mean, anybody who I think wants to do this sort of creative or media or arts oriented has to just keep having this sort of almost delusional self-belief, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you actually have that, you know, you probably, I mean, you're not going to do it as a hobby. You know, it's just not going to, no, life doesn't work like that. But that's probably the worst I've had to do.
Yeah. And with auditions, mm-hmm. So you go for an audition. I sometimes forget this about the whole acting idea, that you don't get told why you don't get roles, do you, a lot of the time?
That's it. Yes. What happens is you know you'll get called in, and usually at very short notice, you know, you might have something prepared, and then they might cut you off sort of, you know, mid sentence. You know, it's fairly rare, but the thing is, you know, you just don't get the call back. Yeah. they never tell you why, you never know the real reason why, and sometimes what's much worse is you see that film much later and you think, oh, that guy's terrible, or, you know, that one's terrible, why did they go for him or her or whatever. You know, there's always that name recognition thing as well, that they'll go with somebody that they put the bums on seats, as they as the phrase goes. So you're not only competing against you know, people like yourself who might not be super well known, but every other person out there who wants to do it as well, you know, on top of the, you know, sort of famous factor that you have no control over.
So Steve, I know you do you do window cleaning, and with that, I mean, you must see some peculiar, weird, unclothed things.
There's many unclothed things. Yeah, it's weird. I've seen some unexpected things, you know what I mean? Like, there was one lady that I cleaned for, still cleaning for her, and she's in, like, a little bungalow, and she had a bad accident with a spine, and she's in a wheelchair now, but she is the cat lady. She's got, like, 20 cats, and she's got, like, 4 dogs.
Is there any danger or she's listening at this moment? Or?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not an insult. No, it's, you know, she likes cats.
Yeah.
But it's... I don't even know who mentioned that. She got a lot of cats.
Yeah.
It's England. People love animals, don't they?
How do they react when, like, you're cleaning windows? Like, the animals, are they really well behaved when a man appears at the window and starts?
Yeah, they're just, like, frightened to death of, you know. I think what it is, because a lot of animals don't go out. When they do see someone else, they think, like, life.
And they freak out.
They freak out. But, anyway, this lady, I went in there one day and she is off her face from Chardonnay. And she's, nearly falling out of the wheelchair. I mean, really drunk. And she's like, oh, yeah, you couldn't do a poo pick out the back for me.
Oh, dear.
And I'm like, you've got 20-odd animals. What? And so, That was really
making your job and look lovely there.
It really is. Yeah.
Well,
is.
No, I've cleaned toilets and that as well. Yeah. I was a labourer, and a labourer on a work site, and then they had me clean toilets. But you know, it can be soul crushing because as you're mopping the floors like for the 70th time, you know what I mean? Somebody comes in there and goes, "Oh, what a cuss." And you're sitting in there and hearing all these sounds, and you're like, "Oh, what am I doing?"
Are the sounds like when you get shot?
You're right in there, mate. Are you sure?
The
gateway to your community. Miskin Radio.
Hello, Kieran here. Thank you for downloading. If you get your podcast on iTunes, don't forget to click the subscribe button so you get a free podcast delivered to you every Thursday of our best bits from that week's show. And also on iTunes, do leave a review as well. We love those. And on Facebook, there's loads of video content you can watch as well. Just search the Kieran Paul Sessions. Bye bye.